B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Ready to go.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody, to the sir, to the man, to the gentleman that started honking his horn at me outside the Wells Fargo Center yesterday and started yelling in my direction over his daughter, who was in the passenger seat, for me to roll down my window just to tell me he loved this show and go birds. I just want to say to you, sir, I love you too. This guy was all decked out. If the Eagles got eliminated, like, it feels like a year ago already. Like, that's how it feels. It'll feel a lot sooner when I watch the NFL playoffs again this week. But the Eagles are done for the season. He had his Eagles hat on. He had his Eagles pullover on, like an Eagles sweatshirt, a hoodie, Trey. Uh-huh. And he was like, Farzetta, hey, hey, her, hey. And his daughter, like, was reclining the seat further back.
In my head, it's just going to be more of a Harry Carey. Hey!
Hi! Harry Carey. Yeah, Harry Carey. Jeez, I'm an idiot. Sorry.
Not Harry Carey.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. And the girl is just like, I would say about 13, putting the seat back all the way as far
Dad,
as possible.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Been there.
I should have yelled, I'll be talking about this in about 12 hours. And he drove off, and he was like, yeah, go birds, man. And I was like, go birds, brother. Go birds. I laughed about that for a good, hour after it happened. But that was nice, because it's nice when, obviously, people think of the show during, throughout their day. Something resonated with people. That's always nice.
I have a story on that, too, real quick.
Oh, what happened
I was
with
telling
you?
Jamie on a break that I went to a high school basketball game last night, literally sat down, had like three or four guys turn around that I know and say, man, those splits you guys gave on the Houston Astros today on the air, that was amazing. And then full conversation off of that. So I told Jamie, kudos to him for looking them up.
And then they asked you to show them how to shoot a free throw, I'm sure, because like they watch Twitch as well.
It's in the books there. They can see in the books how good, you just make free throws.
So it's always good to resonate with people, right?
Yes,
people,
of course.
Right. So then I get to my desk. This is a mere 5 minutes after this happened on my way to NBC Sports Philly. And I sit next to my buddy Corey Seidman, a great baseball writer. And he goes, hey, did you guys talk about the Mike Vrabel story at all? And I'm like, the Mike Vrabel.
What about how he goes to the locker room door?
It says he'll cut his hibbity dibbity off.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I was tweeting about it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Do it, you coward. Talk a big game. You better back it up.
Is it a big game?
And he goes,
that's for Mrs. Vrabel to tell.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, I figured you guys might talk about that. And I go, I read it, but I was also, it was, some things have been happening, so we haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, how about the Antonio Brown one? And I go, why are you asking me this? And he goes, because I just thought you guys would talk about that on your show. It's like, it's good that when people think of us, they think of bags of penises.
Mm-hmm.
And they think about...
No, not just bags of penises.
Yes.
Gummies.
Yes. Yeah, it's a bag of gummy...
I've almost ordered them for people many times.
Well, you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
You want people to have treats.
Yeah.
And he also tweeted out the back of the bag to show, like, the list of nutrients.
Oh, so they're healthy.
I'm not sure. Apparently made with corn syrup, I guess.
Yes. Apparently ESPN was questioning whether or not he actually had the bag of gummies. We'll just say that. And these are not hallucinogens. These are not.
No.
These are not like that. But the bag of gummies. And he said, here you go, ESPN. He took a picture and he sent it to it. He added them on Twitter. So apparently he threw a bag of gummy candy penises entitled a bag of, you can fill in the rest, at his baby mama.
Yeah.
And then got into a verbal altercation with police.
That part is funny. The rest of the video kind of made me sad.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous.
So anyway, Eagles, go get him. He's available. No one else is going to be touching that guy. Go get him.
It's beyond football with him now.
I mean,
he needs help.
Yeah, I think that, I said, because at first when I saw the story, I was like, oh, I got to retweet this.
Yeah.
I ended up deleting it. because I was kind of, I felt like, dang. After I watched the video.
Yeah, you got two kids walking around there, and he's, you know, talking the way he's talking. My God.
But the gummies was hilarious.
That was
so
funny.
That part of it was hilarious. And I'm like, you know what, man? You know, where are his friends? Where are you guys that you know, that considered you friend, that you called friend? Where are they? I was talking to Hugh. I'm like, now, if I heard that you were down in Atlanta acting up like this, know that I'm on the way.
Right. There you go.
Any of my homies, if I hear that you acting out like that, know that I'm on the way. And if the other way around, if you see me flipping out, if I'm throwing gummy penises at the missus, come get me. Come sit me down. We need to talk.
Trey,
there's some things going on.
We got you.
Yeah, I need somebody to talk to me. It's okay. Pull me to the side. We can go sit in the car, go for a long ride, whatever it is. Put one in there. Whatever we need to do, calm it down.
That'll be the cry for help.
Yes.
The cry for help is true.
When you hear that I am online or on the way to the store to go buy a sack of gummy penises, sit down and talk to your boy. Just pull me to the side.
We got you. I like that he just had them handy.
Yeah, they were right there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He has a whole
for
drawer.
Just such a situation.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where they already opened. Is this your snack? What's going on?
Was he eating them?
I don't know.
Were they there just there?
Was he eating them one at a time?
Do you get a handful? I don't know.
Are they as good as Haribo gummies?
Do they come with nuts? I'm trying to figure out, like, what you're doing with this.
I wouldn't surprise if Haribo made them with, like, a different type of the title, I guess, a different name. Because if you're making Haribo, you don't want to, hey, kids, have this, and then, hey, over there. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to get involved with that. But could you imagine us having the conversation with our wives? All right, Toots. Well, Trey's just going around throwing bags of penises. I got to go.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
I got to go help.
And I'm thinking she'd be like, yes, you need to go get him. Yes, go get him because he's tripping.
You know what it made me think of? What that makes me think of, Trey, is the Kevin Hart special that I told you about on Netflix. Uh-huh. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
One of the things.
He's watching Messiah.
Okay, yeah, you're all into that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the things he gets upset about in the thing is he gets mad at his boys for not going to Las Vegas where this incident happened with this other woman. Where the video came out of him with this other lady.
Oh, okay.
He gets, well, one, because supposedly one of the guys in the group betrayed him and is responsible for the video. And then the other is that he called his guys up like last minute. Hey, let's go. We're going to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas. And it was like a Thursday, and he wanted to leave the next day. Mm-hmm. And all the guys were like, yo, I can't tell my missus that I'm going to Vegas tomorrow with you. I can't get away with that. So he was apparently there by himself, and that's when he got into trouble. But you're right. As far as Antonio Brown goes, where is his boys at?
Yeah.
Where is his guys at? Because he's just going to get in trouble if he's by himself, throwing gummies of penises at his baby mama, getting in fights with cops.
With cops?
Verbal altercations, yes. To be more specific.
Yeah, it's too much. It's at the point where I think that he needs some help. When you're in that situation and you're dealing with some of the stuff that's going on, when you're by yourself, your mind just goes sometimes. And I think that that's where he is. He needs somebody that's really in his corner. Like, his real friends need to reach out to him and see what's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you wonder how many ties he's severed because of these actions over the years. Like you said, Trey, where are his friends? Well, maybe his actions over the years has severed so many ties that there's not many people out there that are going to reach out to him, and that's a shame also.
Yeah. And people want to still bring him in? Like, this guy just seems completely off his rocker. Completely. But anyway.
Can he catch? You're like, he's just too much wild stuff.
I know what he could catch. Locker room poison is what he could catch. But the other thing on top of that is, again, it's nice that you resonate with people. It's the bottom line and the moral to that story. Lots of things happening in the NFL. We're going to have Adam Schefter come on the air with us today at 8 o'clock, as he does every Wednesday. So much to get into, because now that it's definitely settling with people. The Eagles are done, and it's just a matter of watching the conference championship games, and it's a matter of watching the Super Bowl and all that, and going through the media tour and all that stuff that happens before the Super Bowl. One of the things that we'll be looking at most notably is offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, who will be taking that role over from Mike Groh, and also wide receivers coach. And there's a couple of names that came out here, former NFL wide receivers that apparently are very interested in taking over that role. Mm-hmm. I can't believe Hines Ward wants to get in the coaching world.
I was going
to
say, you know him a little bit.
A little bit. He told me my hand was on fire once. Literally, that happened. that's a whole other story. But, yeah, he wants to get involved. A guy with a long, successful NFL career wants to come back.
Played under two great coaches.
He absolutely did. And he wants to come here.
Why would you be surprised by that?
Because a lot of times those guys have made their money and they don't want to get into coaching.
But it's not even about making the money. It's about being able to share what you've learned and seeing it work.
You're the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
The fact that you were able to do that for, 2 years with Chip Kelly's staff,
mm-hmm.
that's a great thing. I wish more players were like you.
Hey, it is something that when you go back and you're able to give some information and go through, because it takes a special person. Everybody thinks that every great player can go back and coach, and that's just not real. I think that you have to be a player, a successful player, to go back and coach, you have to understand the progression and be able to teach the progression. And if you're good at that, then, you can have a successful career in coaching. And it's just something special when you can go back and give some information and see it actually work on this level. That's when you're like, oh yeah, you get that bug, and it's extremely addictive.
When I saw his name pop up as someone that would be interested in taking over for Carson Walsh,
mm-hmm.
I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
Get him here. Because he was a hard-nosed player. He was the type of guy that would, throw a shoulder into somebody on a block, and then next thing you know, he'd be catching a 30-yard pass down the field. Like, he was that type of player where he could do it all. Great blocking wide receiver, great hands, and also had the ability to run a precise route. Like, he wasn't the most overly talented person in the world, but he got the most out of his, 5'11 frame.
And that defines a head coach. Not a head coach. That defines a coach.
Mm-hmm.
A guy, Trey, had a great point. A lot of times the greatest players aren't the greatest of coaches because, look at a Wayne Gretzky. That game came naturally to him. I mean, he's trying to coach kids to do what he did. Well, nobody could do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So to be that undersized, as you put it, Mark, and maybe a guy that had to give that extra to become what he became, Hines Ward defines what I think a great coach would be all about.
Mm-hmm. And you have someone that says, okay, if as a player you come in there, oh, I'm not feeling too good. Hey, you know what? I need you to suck that up and let's go.
Because,
you can look at his resume and, I know how that feels. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. We need to get it.
Now, the other name that has also popped up, former Seahawk Bobby Engram. Another guy who had a nice little NFL career to mm-hmm. himself, right? But these are two guys that want to, I guess, to put it in your words, Trey, kind of give back to the younger players. Mm-hmm. And these are guys that played recently enough where they can relate to these players as well. And these guys have that pedigree. They have that experience in the league where if you're a young wide receiver, these are the guys that you're going to listen to. These are the types of guys. Not a guy out of, Wyona State, and Carson Walsh, the D3 type thing. No, they're going to go out there and they're going to listen to guys that put up some great numbers at the NFL level, and those guys are guys that put up great numbers at the NFL level. Enough numbers that you can listen to. Now, the more pressing matter is who is going to be the Eagles' offensive coordinator. We'll also get into that with Adam Schefter at 8 o'clock today. Who's going to be the guy that comes in to take over for Mike Rowe? Because there is a slew of names out there
right now.
And some of them may make you perk up a little bit and go, oh, I would trust that guy sitting next to Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Because I think what everybody is looking for is the guy to be that happy influence to Doug Peterson. The guy that is going to offer something similar the way Frank Reich offered something to Doug Peterson. The NFL experience, whether that be a quarterback, whether it be a running back, but the NFL experience, a guy that's been in the coaching ranks already for over a decade or two at the NFL level and played in the league perhaps. But I will say this. A name has come up that I think a lot of people glossed over. We may have mentioned this name over the last couple of over the last week or so. But if this name is the next offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles and it's not Deuce Staley, I say we riot, Eagles fans. If Press Taylor gets the gig,
who?
Over
say, well, wait a minute.
If current Eagles quarterback coach Press Taylor gets the offensive coordinator position over Deuce Daly, I say we riot. Because that name has started to get more and more attention.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. But but
hire
I know that
from
people,
outside.
I'm with you. I think that's the first thing the Eagles need to do is get somebody out. Get somebody. The number one name on my list is Jim Caldwell. All right, all right. If yeah. like, we could fish a wish, that's the guy I want to see come in here. He's got the experience. He's been a head coach. He's worked with great names. So you have a guy like that come in. He offers a lot. A guy like Press Taylor is just status quo.
Yeah.
Hey. If you bring someone that's from inside the ring, it has to be Deuce.
It has to be.
It has yeah. to be. He's the only yeah. candidate. No way you can jump over Deuce and bring in Press Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Press. He's a good dude. I mean, we were both on the staff
with NFL ready.
Coach Kelly. But to skip over Deuce again
mm-hmm.
and to bring and put Press Taylor in that position over Deuce, I think would be another huge slap in the face to Deuce Staley.
Again, because you want that person that's going to offer that other perspective for Doug Peterson in the coach's room.
He's
in the
32 room. Years old.
Oh, that's
32.
You got to get them 30-year-olds, Bob.
To me, that says
donate.
You know, Doug needs somebody under him that he doesn't have to listen to. He just has to fill the spot.
Mm-hmm.
The team's not going to prosper that way. No.
All right. Now, one national name came out yesterday in wild support of Deuce Staley. And that man's name is Sal Palantonio. Was on this very radio station with Mike Misnella yesterday.
Yeah, I went through it this morning expecting to hear something different.
What, not Deuce Staley, you mean?
Yeah.
What were you looking for?
An outside the organization name.
Yeah.
Whoever that may have been.
He not only like threw out the name Deuce Staley, he said, no, Deuce Staley.
Yeah, like, that's the guy.
It wasn't something along the lines of, there's a lot of candidates out there. Maybe Deuce Daly's one of them, maybe not. It wasn't like that he was throwing out the name Deuce Daly. He was saying it as if, Trey, the next offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles should be Deuce Daly.
That's it.
Boom. Out. Done. Just like that. Now, I still don't think that happens. I'd be happy if it did. Then I obviously want to see the results and see the Eagles' offense flourish. But there is another name that right after Jim Caldwell is the next guy up. The next guy I want to see come in as the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. And I don't think it's popular because I think a lot of people look at this guy and they say he's a bit of a bully. He might be a little pushy. And I, without question, want Todd Haley. After Jim Caldwell, I want Todd Haley coming in here to rattle the cage a little bit, shake the cage a little bit, and be a guy that John DeFilippo was, but with more experience.
You don't want Ben McAdoo?
No. Oh, God, no. Jeez, no. Isn't he still a waiter at Medieval Times?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure he's still over there working for the
That's
Red Horse or the Red Knight, whatever it might be.
Todd Haley, I just...
Why?
My gut says he's not a fit here because he's a douche. And maybe Doug needs to be pushed a little bit and challenged and all that. I just can't get out of my head. I think it was him and Tomlin, wasn't it, that went at it on the sidelines? Yeah, I just don't think that's what the Eagles are about.
First off, selfishly, I want that. Okay?
Just
for what we do here. But I really do think that's something that this team might need. I think this is, when you talk about John DeFilippo, everyone wants John DeFilippo back because he knew what buttons to push with Carson Wentz. Well, didn't John DeFilippo just get fired from his last two offensive coordinator positions?
Yep.
Do you think he's going to carry as much weight if he comes back here to Philadelphia?
Not for the first year.
No. Well, yeah, if they have wild success, then maybe they will. But I'd rather a guy come in here that's a proven commodity in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger had his best years under him as a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, he's a great offensive mind.
Exactly. I think he's a guy that would carry a lot of weight, and I think he's a guy that demands respect in the locker room, and I think him and Carson Wentz would butt heads, but in a good way, the same way people talk about John DeFilippo and Carson Wentz butting heads. I wouldn't mind that name. Now, first choice again, Jim Caldwell coming and take over the offensive coordinator position. But after that, I'd love to see Todd Haley in here. Some of the other names that's popped up, we mentioned Press Taylor, who's a quarterback coach right now for the Eagles. He was a offensive quality control with you on the on the coaching staff under Chip Kelly, Trey. After that, Marty Morningweg's another name that's popped up there. I mentioned Brad Childress last week as an offensive consultant, which I believe is the position that he held under Andy Reid when he went to Kansas City. And he kind of took some time off from being a coach and came back, and that's how he kind of eased his way back into coaching. That name has kind of surfaced again just because it's a name that people are familiar with, similar to Marty Morningweg. But if you look at it like this, if I'm telling you Jim Caldwell or Todd Haley are joining this staff next year, and I tell you that Bobby Engram or Hines Ward are your wide receiver coaches or your wide receiver coach next year, You feel a hell of a lot better about your coaching staff than you did under Mike Rowe and Carson Walsh. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Oh,
like, think about how much better. How much better are those? Like, how's Hines Ward going to handle J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Not with kid gloves.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like he's the perfect guy to be that kind of coach because he got a Hall of Fame-esque career out of not much physical. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And he played a physical game. For a guy who's
not much physical skill sets, he got the most out of what he had.
All right, so we'll be looking at that all throughout the show. We'll let you hear from Sal Palantonio coming up in a minute. A little bit later, like I said, 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Adam Schefter. Phillies were in the news yesterday. They finally made it official with Odubel Herrera, designated him for assignment. I think a lot of people look back on that and they go, well, it's about time. I got to say, I think the Phillies, they handled it the right way.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of red tape with the business decision. The incident happened. And he never played for the Phillies again. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
There was no, let me trot him out to center field again. No, they got their excuse, if you want to call it that, with Adam Haseley. And I hate saying that because Adam Haseley actually played pretty well. You have Adam Haseley as your center fielder. They had to come up with that to move on from a guy like Odubel Herrera. Bottom line is the man still gets paid. That's a guaranteed contract in baseball. That's that. I think the Phillies handled it the right way. We all want justice to be swift. In this case, with all the red tape in Major League Baseball between the owners and the Players Association and all that, they had to do their due diligence, I guess. But bottom line is, the incident happened. He never played for the Phillies again. Some other news that came out in the recent days is Alec Boehm and Spencer Howard get invited to big league spring training. No huge surprise there. And another big free agent name went off the market yesterday in Josh Donaldson. A huge contract. We'll get into that. And is there anything more enjoyable than rivals? Now, I know it's hockey, so it's not on a lot of people's radar right now. But Brad Marchand yesterday really got pissed off at people.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, could you ever imagine referring to a fan, regardless of them being a fan of yours or not, as a peasant?
No.
Because that's where Brad Marchand went yesterday. People were making fun of his shootout attempt that didn't advance outside the little circle in the center ice, right? Uh-huh. It stayed within the circle after he just kind of nipped the tip. And he went on social media and he said, I think I said the same words at the same time yesterday.
Yeah.
So there you go. But he goes out on social media and calls a fan a peasant and says, "You dream to be me when you're in your driveway."
Huh.
That's not the way you want to handle that.
No.
But you know what? We all do things differently. Peasant, we all handle things differently. He went peasant.
Hmm.
Peasant's a funny word.
Yeah.
I find it amusing.
You dream to be me.
You dream to be me. Dream big, man.
Yeah.
Or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. Is the way he chose to address that on the old social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's
peasant,
a lot there.
I don't think, is a word that I've ever used when kind of confrontation arises.
Confrontational? No.
No.
It's a word, for whatever reason, really resonated in my family. It's a word that got used a lot, is peasant.
Huh.
Usually to describe our
peasant food.
Peasant food
is a big thing.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
Yeah. I was raised on it.
Did you call the staff when you were growing up, Jamie? You didn't call them peasants, did you?
Yeah, I'd say, please refer to me as a serf.
Okay.
And then I'd say, make my food, peasant.
My great grandma, literally a peasant. In like Slovakia, she was like a professional friend. She like got paid to go to school. She got to go to school for the count and countess of like Slovakia or something like that.
Wow.
How crazy is that? But yeah, she was a peasant. That's why she came to America. She was like, the hell with this,
and probably brought some delicious peasant food with her.
Damn right she did. Mostly pierogi. But anyway, we'll get a little bit into that Brad Marchand little thing later today. Also, I'm curious because we were talking about Netflix earlier. The Aaron Hernandez documentary.
I can't wait.
It comes out tonight.
Okay, so that answers my question. Yeah, you guys are in.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I can do it.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah, I just want to see the story.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way back to high school and the gang ties and the boyfriends and the murders.
The what? Wait, so what?
The boyfriends.
Oh, okay.
Or boyfriend.
There was
a jail boyfriend.
Yeah.
There was a high school boyfriend.
Uh-huh. There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on in this story.
I am so skeeved out by Aaron Hernandez. Now, here's the thing. I will watch Mindhunter. I'll watch, the Ted Bundy tapes, and I'll watch the Ted Bundy movie, right, and all that stuff. But there's something about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, he sends chills down your spine.
I think it's because I, you know, you watched it from a football perspective for so long, as you should, because he's a football player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to have this totally different life.
Kind of like a Ted Bundy, right?
Yeah, but like I never watched Ted Bundy and was just like, wow, look at that. You know what I mean? Like I watched Aaron Hernandez play football. And there is this whole dark side that just skeeves me the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll probably get drawn into it.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I don't have the date circled on my calendar. I only have it circled because I wanted to bring it up to see how many people were into it. But into the special that's going to be airing on Netflix starting tonight.
Smells like we got a little poll.
I don't want to go with Aaron.
You don't want to glorify murder. Yeah, no.
I don't want to hot take you, but I don't. Murder's bad. So we get all that to get into. But in all honesty, if Press Taylor is hired over Deuce Daly, I think that means Deuce needs to go elsewhere. And I don't want to see him go. And I don't think he'll be some offensive guru. But it just shows me that that the Eagles do not have their fingers on the pulse of the fan. And the fan does no way, shape, or form wants an in-house hire that's not named Deuce. Yeah. Because the guy deserves it. As you'll hear from Sal Palantonio coming up in a minute, the guy is beyond ready at the NFL level. And you know what? A lighter note. The Julian Edelman story that we touched on the other day, speaking of the Patriots, by the way, there was a whole other part of that story that I didn't even see. It has to do with the little photo that came out right before his arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. We'll get into that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We got Mike in Levittown. Open lines after that. Time of the Fanatic is 622.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit UnitedRentals.com. So without further ado, Sal Pal joined Mike Missinelli yesterday. And I feel like whenever we mention the name Deuce Daly, I feel like people's first reaction is, ah, go home, Homer. Like that type of thing. Like, oh, no, he can't be a good head coach. He can't be a good offensive coordinator. If he was, he would have been in that position already. Okay, maybe you're right. But Sal Pal really seems to go to bat for Deuce Daly here. Take a listen to this.
I know who they should look for. It's simple. Deuce Daly.
Okay.
I think they should promote Deuce Daly. Deuce Daly is ready. They already have Jeff Statlin running the running game. Deuce Daly should be the offensive coordinator for a lot of reasons. One, he has the respect of the locker room. Two, he has the respect of the quarterback. Three, he has the respect of the head coach. Four, he has the respect of the owner and the front office. And will he have to learn some things on the job? Yes. Will he be calling plays? No.
That's like so far the best endorsement from the like a national person. I know Sal Pal does a lot of things here locally. Obviously calls into Mike all the time. But he's called in with us. But that's the best endorsement you can get for a guy like Deuce Daly, because I feel like most people say, you can't have Deuce. How many times have you been passed over? Maybe there's a reason for that. Well, as you've pointed out many times, Trey, it might be the guy that ruined it for him is Mike Groh.
Mm-hmm.
But if they decide to go in the direction of Press Taylor and not Deuce Daly, I think that's where Deuce, head coach, assistant or not, that's where he needs to go and just go into another organization to prove himself.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, all those positions are going to be taken. So you're going to have to wait this out for the year.
It really, even if it means taking a lesser position elsewhere just to get in with another organization.
No, you're not going to start over scratch, especially when you have an assistant head coaching position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so possibly you look at doing that next season because, I mean, you just had, what, five hirings?
Yeah, it's that attractive, though, the assistant head coach?
It's not even about the attractiveness. It's the pay.
It's the status, yeah.
Right. You know, you're not going to go from whatever, a couple hundred thousand to going back to saying, all right, I'm going to start back at 70,
mm-hmm.
80,000, you know what I'm saying, or whatever that pay is.
Right.
You know, so, and I don't know what that is, but you know what I'm saying? Possibly you would wait possibly until the next season. Just like, all right, you know what? If you really want to be that offensive coordinator, you would look at, you know, maybe next year.
Mm-hmm. Bob McManus tweets in and he says, wouldn't KC and Andy just scoop him up right away?
I thought of that earlier this week, too, because Eric Bieniemy might be on the move,
yeah,
right?
So, like, Andy could start grooming him for that.
Yeah. Ideally, if Deuce doesn't get the offensive coordinator job here, ideally he goes somewhere else and gets that position. Because if he gets passed over here again, that's tough, man. Because there's just been so much talk about it.
Well, but if they go out and they hire somebody like a Jim Caldwell, or they go and hire Todd Haley, that means they needed an outside influence. And the hire should have been last year. Deuce's opportunity should have been, or excuse me, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Should have been Deuce's opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Eagles seem to find themselves in a position where they can't just promote from within anymore. And I'm saying if they do, and it's not Deuce, then yeah, maybe Eric Bieniemy does go elsewhere, and maybe Deuce goes right into Kansas City, and it's just that easy. Maybe it is. Now, Mike in Levittown is an interesting proposal here. Mike, what's going on?
You better put my name right in that hat right next to Deuce.
Oh, okay.
All right, guys, there's three positions that I'm actually going to put my hat in. Offensive coordinator, okay, a wide receiver coordinator, quarterback coach, and also the D-back coach. First one, Carson Wentz, okay? Quarterback coach. Yeah, I would get him saying 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Get rid of the ball or move. Problem solved.
There okay. it is. Okay. You're qualified, number one.
Wait. What was after 2,000?
Could he do
2,000?
One Mississippi, Mike? Could that be part of your coaching legacy?
Well, the 3,000, he's already hit.
Get out of there.
Well, the average,
not 1,000, all right?
The average seven-step drop takes 2.5 seconds.
Wide receiver coach, even
details,
cut it down to 2.5. I'm down with that.
All right.
Wide receiver coach. Hey guys, guess what? This isn't Dancing with the Stars. Run to a guy as best you can and make a right or a left. Get separation. That's what receivers do. And you catch the ball. You don't bring out racks. You don't use alligator arms. Done with that one. Moving on. Number three, defensive quarterback, corners. Guess what? You're not dancing. It's not a dance partner. You know what? When you see that your receiver is turning around, there's a good reason. The ball's coming. You turn around and make a play on the ball. I would have everybody run 5 yards and turn around. Another 5 yards, turn around. Problem solved. And also, if you want to bring an offensive coordinator as Deuce Daly, fine. But you know what? I like the guy Haley. You know why? Todd Haley? He's got that vein that's going to pop out of his forehead that I want out of a coach. But they're not going to do it because they want a lapdog. Gentlemen, have a great day.
Oh, no, we need your number. We need to pass it to the Eagles. It's all good stuff.
What, you need mine?
Yes.
2-1.
No. See, that's I was going to put him on hold to get his number. I wasn't asking him to announce his number. So
and he had a
difference.
Theme. Every coach has to have a theme. And
you're
Mike's,
right.
Mike's was dancing.
Dancing?
Which was good.
Well, it was good.
Yeah, it's not Dancing with the Stars, which I really enjoy the show.
I do. And many good pro football players have done well on that
Jerry
show.
Jerry Rice has done well.
Emmitt Smith, yeah.
Heinz Ward was on there.
Keyshawn Johnson did not do well.
Didn't do well, but he was there.
Yeah. Even Antonio Brown, wasn't he on Dancing with the Stars? I don't know.
I believe it was.
The best was when Floyd Mayweather was on there.
Oh, for a boxer footwork?
Did they ask him to read? No. He absolutely was awful.
Mm.
And Floyd Mayweather was like, hey, listen, I better get a better score next time I dance. And the people got out there, the judges, they were like, oh, Floyd, you did an amazing job. Good job. What's the score? 3-2. We had to hurry up and get Floyd off the show. before Floyd put hands on somebody, man.
I've never watched it.
My mom is the biggest fan of that show ever. And she always says, the football players have great footwork.
Yes.
Did you take ballet or something like that?
No. I took ballroom dancing.
Ballroom dancing. That's what it was.
A couple years back.
Trey's a fan of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I watched Dancing with the Stars, man.
All right, that's cool.
Sapp did a good job when he was on there.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched it all that much.
Yeah, I watched it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's that show people talk about next, and then I just go to the next one there. But I think our man Mike has all good points as far as how to coach wide receivers and how to coach the offense.
Hire him.
I agree with him. No, the fact that I like Todd Haley as well after Jim Caldwell makes me want to bump him down. The fact that I'm that aligned with Mike, that makes me a little bit worried. But I think the thing is, when you look at what Carson Wentz needs, I think he does need that guy that can be a little overbearing, that knows how to push the right buttons.
Yeah, I think his mechanics slipped at times this year.
Yeah, you just saw some errant throws.
I mean, some weird arm angles, some back foot throws, stuff like that.
Yeah, and look, this is coming from a guy who does look at the drops as the number one story from the season, but you do need somebody else to come in there and motivate Carson a little bit more than what you've been seeing. I think the guy has motivation, but in terms of keeping his skills, his mechanics in tune, I think you need somebody else to come in there and maybe push him a little bit further. And the number one reason I think it's Todd Haley is because you have a guy in Ben Roethlisberger who had already won a Super Bowl, and Todd Haley joins up with him and he puts up his best numbers.
Well, his mechanics are going to be fixed by Press Taylor, who's his coach,
who's working
with him all the time. So that's the person that, when you look at his mechanics, his throwing off a back foot, his arm angle, you know, staring down the receiver, that's Press Taylor. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's, you know, handling all that. He's the one, when you sit down and watch film, that's breaking all of this down, that's working with him on the field, making sure that all of these things are tight.
Mm-hmm.
And you putting him at offensive coordinator?
Let me just say this. I don't want this to get lost in Carson Wentz, because that's not the issue. Mm-hmm. The bigger issue I have is somebody that just offers more to the offense in general. Somebody that has NFL experience, someone that has success at the NFL level. I mean, Todd Haley was a coach in he was the offensive coordinator of the Cardinals in the Super Bowl that lost to the Steelers, by the way. That's when Tomlin got his ring. So I think the guy, he has that experience. He has a little bit of clout to him. He's had success with a big name quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger. He's had success where he put up his best numbers. I mean, it's not saying anything when a good quarterback puts up good numbers, but when he puts up his best, that is saying something. So I think that's something that he could bring to this offense and help out a guy like Doug Peterson, maybe even help out Press Taylor for later use, and also help out your quarterback as well. And maybe you get a little bit more production out of these wide receivers as well. If you're telling me Jim Caldwell's coming here, or you're telling me that Todd Haley's coming here, and then you have either Bobby Engram, really, or Hines Ward, I'd more so want Hines Ward, but either those two guys are coaching your wide receivers, you feel a little bit better about life.
Let's freaking roll.
That's funny. Real quick, when we talked about he had some sideline problems, I looked up real fast, sideline fight, and Todd Haley's name, only five other names came up, that's all. He got into it with Matt Castle, with Anquan Boldin, with Greg Williams, Antonio Brown, Freddie Kitchens, all on the sideline.
He gets into it with everyone.
Yeah. He does. So you got that coming, too, if you get him.
I also remember seeing him on Hard Knocks with the Browns.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was looking at, who's the coach that they followed?
Freddie Kitchens?
I'm looking at the coach they fired before.
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson, also another coach that was fired in the midst of also being hired in the same time as Doug Peterson. But anyway, Todd Haley is in a meeting with Hugh Jackson, and he's looking at him, and he was like, "Hey, this is how I call the shots," that kind of thing. Todd Haley is like looking at him like, "You got to be bleeping kidding."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I want to see that guy sit across from Doug Peterson and see what happens." 610-632-0975. Coming up, I think I found it. The most disgusting thing on the internet today.
Whoa.
I think I found it. And we'll tell you what that is coming up in a minute, because I ain't eating this.
There's a lot. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there's a lot of gross stuff on the internet.
Oh, no. This wins. This wins above all else. Time of the Fanatic is 6:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up top of the hour, we're going to get into this Luke Kuechly story and what it means to the rest of the NFL, because they continue to just drop off and say, you know what, I've had enough. I think I'm done here. Luke Kuechly, 28 years old, and he's done. So we'll get to that. We'll let you hear from Luke Kuechly as well. But the most disgusting thing I have seen on the internet is it was tweeted out, but I didn't see this person tweet it because I don't follow them. I follow funnyordie.com, and they quote tweeted this picture. And it's a picture of a pizza that is a kiwi pizza.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Now, pineapple pizza is the worst thing to ever happen in the history of the planet. Oh, you stop it.
A Hawaiian pizza is delicious.
I consider myself to be a somewhat nonviolent human.
Do you like pineapple in general?
Yes, love pineapple, especially when it's upside down. You know what I'm saying?
well, no, what are you saying?
I'm saying I might be into the swinger lifestyle.
Okay.
For those that missed that conversation, upside down pineapple, swinger. So anyway, lifestyle. So I'm following this thing. And it was a kiwi pizza. I didn't know what it was at first because it just, my mind couldn't really, I couldn't wrap my mind around the idea that someone would cut up a kiwi and say, let me put that on top of a cheese pizza. Now, I have issued the statement many times that I am anti plain cheese pizza. To me, a plain cheese pizza is a wasted opportunity. I like, this is how I feel about life, okay?
That's the baseline how you judge.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's pepperoni. You gotta have something on it. No. Like, you're not giving me an empty, like, I look at a plain cheese pizza as an empty plate.
I look at it as, this is gonna be the best breakfast tomorrow when it's cold, right out of the fridge.
Yeah, and you throw some nice pepperoni over top of that, it's even better. That's why I will abstain from pizza if it's just plain pizza in favor of maybe waiting for a pepperoni or something like that. Pineapple pizza is the great Anthony Bourdain, as a matter of fact, was challenged by a pizza maker from Rome saying, I'll make you a pineapple pizza that you'll love.
From Rome. Some of the best food I've ever had.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And Anthony Bourdain.
And Bourdain didn't like it? I didn't see that episode.
Bourdain.
He did not.
Yeah, it was The Layover, his show The Layover.
Uh-huh.
And he goes to Rome and this guy says, I'll make you a pineapple pizza. Because Bourdain makes the typical statement as I just did, which is pineapple pizza is the worst thing ever. And then he goes and has this guy's pizza. And what's really funny is this like guy in Rome is like chugging beers as he's making pizza. And I'm like, this is going to be good no matter what. And Bourdain took a bite and he's just like,
No.
So then the guy, you know what the guy did? He went and got like hot peppers and put it on top of the pineapple. And Bourdain's like, now you have something. But kiwi pizza has to be an all new low. And the FBI needs to investigate whoever sent out that tweet. ATF needs to investigate. Food and Drug Administration. This person needs to be investigated. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen on Twitter. And it got a lot of responses to that degree.
Well, that's when I first saw it, I went, somebody put this out there for retweets. Like, it was a shock. Like, I don't think anybody actually is going to enjoy that, right?
The person had heart face emojis.
You don't know. Don't you have to try something before you can bash it?
No.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought you'd be on my side on this, Trey Thomas.
I'm okay with bashing stuff.
Like castration, for example.
Yeah. Don't have to try it.
Don't have to try that. Yeah, I'm okay with bashing it.
You know what I mean. If you see
self-castration is not good.
Yeah. If you see a slice of pizza with something on it before something edible that you may like without pizza, you got to give it a try before you... Do you like kiwi,
Trey? Yeah, but not on pizza.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Is there meat on this pizza?
No meat, just kiwi.
See, I think this is a vegan thing right there.
But it has the cheese.
Yeah,
unless the cheese is the meat vegan.
Yeah, is there vegan? Yeah, it's not.
Maybe
good,
it was a tomato pie.
Vegans.
Yeah.
Your people.
Yeah. Yes.
For 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. My people, man. It was a month. It was a month of veganism.
I can't.
And I'm back on it again.
Yes, he is.
I thought you were doing something different.
That's it's a fast food, but it's fruits. Yeah, it's fruits and vegetables.
That's it.
Oh, okay. So would you try? Well, no, because
of the cheese, the bread.
Like, how you hanging in, Trey?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not like finding yourself hungry?
No, I'm doing good.
Thanks for bringing it up, team.
Yeah.
Just asking.
Eating nice little salads, hearty with some beans and rice. Quite tasty. Nice little detox.
There are just certain things. There are certain things that need to happen in life that if you see somebody doing something such as making a kiwi pizza, you should be allowed.
Throw them in jail?
Well, you know, I don't want to.
Guantanamo Bay.
Jeez. Waterboard.
What was the thing in Singapore like 30 years ago? The caning? One whack. Let them know.
Latonya Harding right in the back of the knee.
Kalulu is the enforcer. No, I think just one time you should just be able to go up to somebody and just give them, not something that would hurt them.
But a little temporary.
Slap in the face.
Let them feel it.
Just one smack in the face.
Our buddy, let's get your opinion on this. Petty Pendergrass tweets in, hold on now, a pineapple bacon and jalapeno pizza is my favorite trifecta of sweet, spicy, and savory.
All right, now here's the thing he's doing, all right? The bacon is the end-all, be-all of every food group ever, so you have my attention. The jalapenos, I'll dive into a pool of jalapenos and swim around.
The sweet and the spicy would be nice offsetters there. Yeah.
Well, see, that's what Bourdain did. He put the hot peppers over top of the pineapple.
How could that be bad?
But based on principle, I'm not eating it.
Mm.
Because the pineapple is still tainting the rest of the bunch. It's like you go with a group of friends and there's one guy you really can't stand. It's like, you know, I'm just going to abstain here because I know I'll ruin this because I hate that guy and I can't be around him.
So if somebody takes a bite of something and you disagree, so somebody takes a bite of a pineapple and pepper pizza.
Yes.
And they say, no, Mark, this isn't bad. On principle, you won't try it.
The only time I would ever violate a principle of mine is if I'm sitting at somebody else's table and I'm a guest and I don't want to be rude. Then I might eat something.
Sounds like I'm having Hawaiian pizza night at the Lynch House.
There's so many weird rules about eating.
But I mean, it's just a rule.
Just eat it.
I have a respectful rule. I'm sitting at your table. I'm probably going to indulge in whatever you're putting in front of me because I don't want to be rude. It's a rule of my grandmother. She said, you eat what's in front of you, right? That thing? But if it's just like an option where we're out and there's a pineapple pizza that has the bacon and it has the jalapenos, guess what? I'm not eating it. Not happening. Because pineapple pizza is the worst thing on the history of the face of the earth.
And you have tried it?
Pineapple pizza?
Yeah.
God, no. What the hell's wrong? What? I'm respectful. I will not eat that.
Okay.
Unless it's like, I don't know, a friend of mine's Hawaiian and they actually eat that kind of pizza.
I'll give anything a try.
My one buddy, Joey Coconuts, is Hawaiian. And if I was sitting at his house and he put Hawaiian pizza, which he never would, because I think it's like, that was
I would choose Hawaiian pizza 10 times out of 10 over what Addie, my wife, ordered last Friday night.
What was that?
Banana peppers, onions, and spinach. On a tomato pie.
Banana?
Banana peppers.
Oh, banana peppers.
Spinach socks on a non-white, non-ricotta cheese pizza.
What did you do? Did you, like, go out too late and she was punishing you? What happened here?
I called Cordell and Cordell.
Wow.
Mike and KOP. Mike, just real quick, where do you stand on pineapple pizza?
I don't stand on pineapple.
All right,
where do you stand?
Thank you, we agree. Where do you stand on kiwi pizza, which apparently is a new thing?
I don't understand why people have to ruin things that are, like, fine the way they are. Just
thank you.
Stop. Just leave it alone.
You're agreeing with Mike.
I was actually going to say to Jamie, I was asking him if he had started divorce proceedings based on that tweet from last week.
Early conversations, Mike.
Good, because you should really kick her out of the house.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.